Hey, so we are here with Christopher Bedell. Is that, I don't know if I've ever said your name out loud and I'm scared.
Yeah, no, it's fine. It's Christopher Bedell, like.
Bedell, yeah. From Greater Than Games.
It rhymes with and Bedell from Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah. I'm Michael DeMauro from Geekly Inc. And with me also is Tim Lanning.
Hey, everybody. Tim Lanning from Geekly Inc. here.
And we brought Christopher on because we wanted to talk to him about his game, which is Sentinel Comics RPG, right? Is that, did I say that properly?
Yeah.
Which we got to play at PAX Unplugged with Christopher. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to share our experience with you and have him tell you a little bit more about it. So can you give us the like elevator pitch for what the game is?
Yeah, absolutely. The Sentinel Comics role-playing game is a role-playing game built on the story that I wrote in 2011 for a card game called Sentinels the Multiverse. Some people are familiar with it, some people are not, no worries. But that was where this all started. In 2011, I made a card game called Sentinels the Multiverse, and that came about because I was at that point in time like GMing a lot of games, running a lot of games, and I wanted a game in which everybody at the table was on the same team. It was a fully cooperative game so that I didn't have to GM so many games. And so that's where Sentinels of the Multiverse came from.
And
so
you founded an empire with that.
Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong. So then naturally, of course, is like over the years, it's like, man, it'd be really great to turn this superhero setting that I put so much work into a role-playing game, into a tabletop role-playing game. And now I've been working on that for the past 3+ years now with a fantastic team of people. Cam Banks, Philippe Menard, Dave Chalker are all great people who are working on it. Also, Clark Valentine is doing writing, and Amanda Valentine is our editor person. So all fantastic people who have fantastic pedigrees that are much more familiar with the RPG industry than I am, but they're all also familiar with Sentinels the Multiverse and kind of came to me and said, you should make an RPG. And here we are. So like, I just kind of got to do the Nick Fury thing of putting together a super team and stand back and watching it happen.
That's rad.
Nice.
The game itself is a fast-paced, very description-based. It's less crunchy, but still it has some interesting rules and mechanics. Storytelling role-playing game in which each player plays as a hero, working together in a team of heroes, dealing with bad guys, and the environment is an ever-changing aspect of the game. And it's a dice pool system where every hero has a list of powers and a list of qualities they have access to, as well as their status, whether they're in the green, yellow, or red zone, which is a part of the game. And everything you do as a character comes from those three things. You'll always take one of your powers and one of your qualities and your status die and roll that to determine what you do. And so it means that the description of the game tends to be very evocative, because even if you're like, well, I just do a basic thing, I'm just going to punch the guy, it's like, well, what power are you using for that? What quality are you using for that? And it means that players spend a lot of time really building a tapestry of what they're doing at the table.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When we got a chance to play it, I was so shocked by how quickly I was able to go from having no idea, not knowing how it worked, to going to just like, oh, okay, I got my skill here, I got my pool here. More or less, I can do whatever I want as long as I can justify it based on what I had before. And I don't know if it's just your DM style generally, but it definitely seemed like, okay, yeah, you can definitely do that. Like, justify it to me. And there's very few walls, it appears like.
Yeah. No, I definitely, in general, I like being able to say yes as a GM. So I'm like, I want to do a crazy creative thing. Well, you can't do a fun creative thing. You must do the boring thing.
Yeah.
So like, obviously, I want to encourage people to do the fun thing. And the thing that I really like about the Sentinel Comics role-playing game is that it allows for that, and it allows a spectrum of success where you can have success, you succeed, great, fantastic, or you succeed with a minor twist or even a major twist, and those minor and major twists is what really brings out a lot of life, because those come from the players as well. So the players are like, oh, yeah, no, it looks like I barely succeeded. I guess I'll take that major twist in order to succeed,
yeah.
Which means that your success is not negated, but something else negative or at least complicated happens in the world, just adding bits to the game, adding bits to the scenery all the time.
Yeah. So you mentioned the status dice, and I thought that was a really sort of interesting part of the game. Could you explain a little bit more about how that works?
Sure, absolutely. So everything, more or less, in the game has a status. I mentioned earlier the green, yellow, and red zones. And in fact, there is a fourth forbidden zone. It's not actually forbidden. That is the out zone. If you pass all the way through green, yellow, and red and end up in out, then you're out of the scene. And that's where the system name comes from. It's the gyro system for green, yellow, red, out, G-Y-R-O.
Okay.
But because it is a game about people wearing costumes, it's the Euro system, the super Euro system.
Oh, no.
We had dumb jokes, even in our games. But... so the each individual hero has that status from green to yellow to red. And when you're in the green zone, everything's going well. There's no reason for alarm. There might be some little fights going on, but you're in your element, no big deal. And then as you take damage to your health, and that damage could be physical damage, it could be emotional damage, could be spiritual damage. But as you take damage, you move into your yellow zone. And as you enter your yellow zone, it unlocks a different status die that you are now using when you're in the yellow zone, but also it unlocks a bunch of abilities that are your yellow abilities that you only have access to in your yellow zone. And so in the green zone, you have your green abilities. In your yellow zone, you have your yellow zone and your green zone abilities. And then if you move all the way into the red zone, you have your red, yellow, and green abilities. And this matters because it's for pacing. It's for the sort of pacing that you'd have in a movie or in a comic book, for instance, where you don't kick in the door at the beginning of the first story and pull out the biggest, craziest sword gun ever and use that in the very first scene. You want to build to that. You don't combine into Voltron until the very end. And so that's where your red abilities come in, and your yellow abilities are your mid-scene abilities or your mid-story abilities, and then all the way into your red. The environment, the scene itself that you're playing in, also has those zones. Because I mentioned that everything has the status, and the green, yellow, red zones there in the environment are important because they actually dictate what everybody's zones are. Your personal zone is your health, and as your health gets pushed down, you get pushed into yellow and ultimately red zones. But the environment, as you're taking damage and fighting, the environment is also experiencing change, be it from villains doing terrible things or just the fight going on longer and longer and adding stress to this thing. And over the course of that, the environment is going to tick along a tracker, starting in the green zone, moving to the yellow, into the red. And as it enters the yellow zone, everybody in the scene all of a sudden acts as if they're in the yellow zone, regardless of whether or not their health is in the yellow zone. And this is kind of mimicking what's going on in a fight, where if we're all hanging out here on this podcast, but let's say, or it's not a podcast, it's a hangout.
Content?
No one knows. It's a content.
I don't know what this is.
And we're making a content.
We're making content. And so we're here in this content together. And then all of a sudden, all of us, our headsets start sparking electrically. This content just moved into the yellow zone. that regardless of our health is all fine, but the scene itself has gotten to a higher degree of anxiety. And with it, we are pushed into the yellow zone. Then when all of a sudden we only exist in the digital world and the real world falls away from us and we all fall into this content and are stuck in this content, it's in the red zone. And if we're not careful, that scene itself could go all the way to out and it will end poorly for all of us.
Oh, I love that. I want to be in the red zone with all
of it. It is good to be in the red zone because you have all your cool abilities there.
Yeah,
but it's also dangerous.
Right. But I like that about it because it gives you incentive to take risks and, you know, maybe not try to play the most optimal way, because it's like, if, you know, I take damage, if I take hits, then I'm actually going to get more powerful and get all my cool stuff. So I think that was sort of one of my favorite bits of the game when we played it.
Yeah. And definitely having the sort of multi-layered, like, here's the direct conflict that you're facing here, and on top of that, here's the way that the environment is changing. It might be just that the first do we play the intro scenario or the first step chapter?
You played issue one. A 6-issue arc. So
I really liked that as we were going along. It was like, all right, this is happening, but also this robot is in this sewer grate. Isn't that weird? And we're like, it is weird, but we don't have time to do anything with this. And as we went along, it felt like everything sort of followed that green, yellow, red, not just, you know, our powers and health and stuff like that, but also, you know, the world, as you said. And Michael, I disagree. I think I played the most optimal build. I made a robot with a big mouth, a robot with a net, I think.
You made a lot of robots.
Two robots.
Did you have some grabby robots, maybe?
I think I had some grabby robots.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a lot of robots going for me. And so I think I solved it.
Yeah. Mm,
yeah, that's pretty good. Much all you. Yeah. So right now people can go out and get the starter kit. Is that right? Right.
That's the only thing that's out right now. We wanted to put the starter out. It'll end up being about a year between the publication of the starter kit and the publication of the core rulebook if we're very speedy with things. Just because we wanted to make sure that people knew what they were getting into. There's going to be a lot of people coming from the Sentinels, the Multiverse card game side of things that we didn't want to be like, oh, you love Sentinels, the Multiverse, then you'll love this RPG. Maybe you will. Maybe you won't. We're not here to say that one way or another. We're just going to offer this product and it might be for you. But yeah, the starter kit is available at lots of friendly local gaming stores. It's $20. It comes with 6 character folios, a gameplay guide that teaches you everything you need to know to play and to GM it, and 6 issues, 6 full-length adventures that are each about 2 hours of play time.
Nice. That's a lot.
And if wherever you get it, if you buy this thing and you don't have... wherever you buy it, they should be able to give you the PDFs. If they don't, just email us, we'll give you the PDFs, because anybody that buys a physical copy also gets the PDFs for free, because we think that PDFs should be everywhere for PDFs RPGs.
Are handy.
Because they're the best.
Yeah, that's a lot. So you have 6 pre-gen characters, and then when the full system comes out, then people will be able to create their own characters and all that stuff.
The core rulebook will come with, I want to say, 12 pre-generated heroes, like the 6 that were in the core rulebook. But also, it'll come with an entire giant chapter about, here's how to build anything you want. And we are really only including the 12s. We're like, okay, here's the canon of the Sentinel Comics world. But the important part is, make your heroes. Go play in this world. Go have fun.
Mm-hmm. And you were saying it was going to come out... generally, I mean, obviously you're not
right, like,
not done until it's done kind of thing, but
absolutely. Our hope is to have it out by the end of this year.
Okay. Nice.
So yeah, we don't want to promise anything at this point, but that is the goal that we're working towards, and it's a goal that I feel confident enough to say our goal is the end of this year.
Excellent. Well, that's great. I really enjoyed playing it. Thank you again for GMing us.
I had a blast. And, it was a lot of fun. You guys were great.
It was super fun. So guys, check out Sentinels Comics role-playing game.
I don't know what you guys just said, because my Chinese food got here, but I also had a really fun time and I liked it. And it was a type of DMing style that, GMing style that,
there's no dungeons.
There's no, well, we don't know that. We didn't read the rest of it. That I definitely want to, copy more. And I liked the sort of, multiple problems, solve them the way you can, and check off the success. It was like a battle mixed with a skill challenge mixed with 8 other things. I liked it.
Yeah, it was fun.
I'm glad you
enjoyed it. Thank you, Christopher.
Oh, my pleasure.